If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salam ala al-Nabi al-Mustafa al-Mujtaba. My dear respective brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, I would just like to take a moment out to thank the administration of the masjid for sorting out this program, hoping to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we gathered today in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reunite us, if not in this dunya, but in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabb. What I really want to touch on today, my beloved brothers and sisters, is mainly some of the causes of punishment in the grave. Without a shadow of a doubt, the abode of the grave is that which is inevitable. Every single individual who's sitting here today, sooner or later, he will be leaving and departing from this world, entering into a hole that is 6 feet into the ground. Whether you think you are too young to depart from this world, or whether you may think that you still have another 10 years, because you came across the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, "A'maru ummati bayna 60 wa 70." The average lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَقَلِيلٌ مَنْ يَتَجَاوزُ ذَلِكَ. And only a few go past that age. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having said that, doesn't necessarily mean that you are guaranteed to reach the age of 60 or the age of 70. We have lost a lot of youngsters, my beloved brothers and sisters. I myself, in the space of a year and a half, I lost 3 young relatives. One of them was my younger brother, stabbed in the neck. Soon after that, a cousin of mine died in a car crash on one of the busiest roads in Birmingham, the age of 24, same as my younger brother. And then a couple of months after that, a younger cousin of mine, at the age of 18, stabbed in the chest on one of the most busiest roads in Birmingham, known as Coventry Road, which I think most of us have at least once upon a time visited. I buried two of them. The third, I was told when I was in Mecca that this had just happened. It shook me to the core, brothers and sisters. Tender age of 24, I believe the other was 23, and then the age of 18. All of them, they were extremely, extremely young. There's a reason why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كنت قد نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها. I initially prohibited you from visiting the graves. However, I say to you now, go and visit it. And if you look closely at this hadith, it didn't mention only the old, or only those who have reached the age of 30 or the age of 40. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to his ummah, فَزُورُوهَا. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether there's grey hairs that are appearing on your face. And even the woman. There's a strong argument that even the women should be visiting the graves, providing that certain conditions are met. The majority of the scholars, from the Shafi'iyya, the Malikiyya, the Hanafiyya, and this is one of the positions in the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi, they all take the view that even a woman should go. And this is one of the evidences, and there's so many other evidences as well. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to his ummah and he mentioned a reasoning behind it. He said, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ. It reminds you of the hereafter. Also in another narration, narrated by Ibn Majah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَتُزَهِّدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. It causes you to overlook the pleasures of the dunya. When you're standing on top of that grave, looking down into the ground, knowing that this is your abode, and that sooner or later, you'll be entering into this hole. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, we're not going to be thinking about which color sofa we want to be buying for our new house in the future. Not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with buying a house, as long as, of course, done in the correct way. Or which car we want to buy 5 years down the line, which Mercedes or which BMW or which this and which that. This is not something that is going to be occupying our minds at the time. You're standing over that grave and you know that you are not guaranteed tomorrow. How many people, my brothers and my sisters, they kept on saying, I'm going to repent, I'm going to repent. I shall and I will. He went to sleep, he never woke up. Young and old. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَادِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Be someone who continuously thinks about death. That which is going to destroy all of your pleasures. Destroys all of your pleasures. And without a shadow of a doubt, some of us have become so attached to the dunya, we are no different to a drunken man who's become intoxicated. And the dunya is at times compared to intoxication. You may not have consumed any drugs. However, because you've gone so deep into the dunya, it has left you shaken, intoxicated with the glitters and the glamours of this world. The kuffar, normally they don't want to hear anything about death. Sometimes at the da'wah table on Sunday, want to stimulate their minds, right? Begin to talk to them about the purpose of life. Take a look at their face. The moment you speak about death, it really shakes them and makes them think. This is a sad reality. Right? I believe it was last year, some of the brothers from Portsmouth, they asked me to come down and give a 5 minute reminder. Allah, it was a long trip. 3 hours for a 5 minute reminder. Normally when I look at the distance and the productivity of that, it causes me to hesitate for 5 minutes, but then they told me a lot of them are non-practicing. And there are also going to be non-Muslims partaking in the football competition. It was a football tournament. And I was asking myself, what am I going to speak to them about? And it was around the time when Euro 2020, I believe it was, right? Euro 2020. And it was just after Christian Eriksen nearly passed out on the pitch. You guys remember that incident? Christian Eriksen, right? The slick midfielder. He passed out. And I try to make them understand it's live, just a game. Wallahi, I don't think I've ever seen kuffar shell-shock like that when I looked at their faces. It's something that they don't talk to themselves about. But it's a reality that you can't run away from. Me and you are both going to be admitted into that grave. And is life just a game? Throughout our days, we just what? Play around, right? It might be football, it might be basketball, it might be movies that we watch, it might be football games that we continuously keep watching. And by the way, I'm not saying again that playing football is haram, or that playing basketball is haram. However, when it becomes your daily routine to be heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal, for many parts of your day, or for large parts of your day, should I say, right? What is the likelihood that you will die like that? I've been speaking a lot in the last couple of weeks about the husnul khatima, the good ending, right? We had two huge reminders in Leicester. I know I'm going a little bit off here from the topic, but I think it's worth mentioning. Two huge reminders in Leicester that shook the community. The first was a Mawlana. As long as I knew him, he was always teaching the Quran and leading a salawat at my local masjid that is just a couple of steps away from where I live in Leicester. How did he die? Straight after the Isha prayer. When we hear these kind of incidents, brothers and sisters, or we come across some of these videos on WhatsApp or social media, where a guy is holding the Quran, or the CCTV managed to catch someone at maybe 2 p.m. when everyone was at work, the masjid was empty. It caught him praying, and that's how he passed away. That was his last moment. And then we hear about the Mawlana, right, who's always been in the masjid as long as I knew him, right, always at the masjid. Straight after the Isha prayer, passes away. Was it surprising to me, brothers and sisters? It really wasn't. Knowing that of him, it really wasn't. And then, I think a week after that, a Syrian brother passed away in the Fajr prayer. You do a little bit of digging up, my brothers and my sisters, again, Salah was his life. He used to lead the Salawat, always in the masjid. The principle is, as Ibn Kathir mentions, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something, he's very likely going to die like that, right? Whether that thing is halal or not, even if it is permissible, right? If, and this is just common sense and logic, the more you do something, what is the likelihood that you will die like that? Very likely. If I'm always on my phone, the majority of my time I'm on my phone. And again, I'm not saying that using your phone is haram. What is the likelihood that you will die on your phone? Very likely, right? Because that's how you spend your time. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he gives us some examples of a bad ending. One of the endings that he mentions is how there were some people who used to play shataranj. You guys know chess? And one of them was on his deathbed. If I asked everyone here to utter the shahada, no one will have any difficulty. Isn't it so? No one will have any difficulty. However, it's not as straightforward when you're on your deathbed, brothers and sisters. Right? The talqeen, which means to get someone to say the la ilaha illallah and to hope that that's the last thing that he says. So one of them is on his deathbed. They try to get him to say la ilaha illallah. What do you think he said? Shahak. It's a chess move. It's like saying checkmate. Another man that Ibn al-Qayyim mentions is how an individual was always busy with his business, making money. And again, having a business, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if it reaches a point where this is now what you worship, you wake up to it and you go to sleep to it. That's what your mind is glued to. What is the likelihood that you will die like that? So on his deathbed, they tried to get him to say, La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said? هذه بضاعة رخيصة. This is very cheap merchandise. هذا مشتر جيد. This man is a good customer. And that was his last statement. You guys heard of Alan Shearer? Alan Shearer? Why are you guys acting like you don't know him? Huh? Match of the Day presenter. Yes, he's still alive. One time I heard a sheikh saying that there was this boy that he knew. He wakes up to Alan Shearer, goes to sleep to Alan Shearer. His duvet has a picture of Alan Shearer. His wallpaper has a picture of Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. And of course, Alan Shearer is extinct now, right? He's become a dinosaur. Doesn't play anymore. We have other footballers, right? That we've become crazy of. It's almost become like a religion to some, football. And I don't think anybody here would disagree with me. I'm not saying everyone here has taken that as a religion. I have to keep mentioning these disclaimers. I don't know you guys. I might find someone pulling me up outside and drugging me, you know? Ala kulli hal, try to get him to say, La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said, brothers, sisters? I think you guys get the sketch now. Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. And the examples are many. I spoke about it extensively in the lecture that I gave at Green Lane Masjid on the one who killed 100. It's on my YouTube channel. So many different examples of how people died. Going back to our discussion, brothers and sisters, the qabr, the grave. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever the grave was mentioned, he would cry so much that his beard would be soaked with tears. His beard would be soaked with tears, brothers. And they would say to him, the Jannah and the Nar is mentioned, but you don't cry. But whenever the grave is mentioned, he burst into tears. He said, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ أَوَّلُ مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنْ نَجَى مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَيْسَرُ. The grave is the first stages of the hereafter. And if that goes easy, then everything else that follows will go, inshaAllah ta'ala, easy as well. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْجُ مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَشَدُ. And if that doesn't go to plan, doesn't go easy for him, everything else that follows after that will be horrible. And then he said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا أَفْضَعْ مِنَ الْقَبْرِ أَوْ إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعْ مِنْهُ. I never saw anything that looked more horrible than the grave. This is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once said, كُنَّا نَشُكُّ فِي عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. We used to doubt whether the trial of the grave was something that was going to happen. Was it real? Was it not? We used to doubt. حَتَّى نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. Until this chapter came down. What was this chapter? Al-Hakum al-Takathur. That which has distracted you is just wanting more and more and more. Let's be honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters, right? When you think about your life and you reflect on it, what is it that I'm living for, right? What is it that I wake up to? Am I just constantly worried about the numbers that are moving in my bank account? And it doesn't necessarily have to just be money orientated. Today you have what? Followers on social media. That which has distracted you is wanting more. Allah is saying, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Today you have 10,000, tomorrow you have 20. The day after that you have 30, and then 40, and then 50, and then what? You'll die. What are you actually feeding the people? Is the next question. Right? Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Right? The grave. Have you visited the grave? Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. You will come to know, indeed you will come to know. Right? And what is this speaking about? That which you're going to come to know about? The grave. And the trials of the grave, the punishment of the grave. One of the hadith, my brothers and my sisters, at times, really does shake me, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَدَرُونَ مَا الْمَعِيشَةُ الضَّنْكِ. Do you know what this life of dunk is? Because there's a verse in the Quran, my beloved brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, then this person will have a life of dunk. The scholars, they gave different interpretations to what a dunk means. In this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked this question, قالوا, they said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, they know best. This is the response of the companions. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عذاب الكافر في القبر. The torture of the kafir in the grave. والذي نفسي بيده. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he swears by Allah, by the one whom my soul is in his hand. إنه ليسلط عليه 99 تنينا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, will send towards him 99 tanina. So then he asked, Atadrun mat tanin? Do you know what this tanin is? 99 hayya. 99 snakes will be sent towards him. Likulli hayyatin wa likulli hayyatin 9 أو تسعة أرؤس ينفخن في جسمه ويلسعنه ويخدشنه إلى يوم القيامة. And every single one of these snakes will have 9 heads. And they will what? Bite him. Poison him. They will rip into him all the way up until يوم القيامة. وَيُحْشَرُ فِي قَبْرِهِ إِلَى مَوْقِفِهِ أَعْمَى. And then after he's resurrected, he will walk to where the people will be resurrected and he's blind. And this is also what is mentioned in the Quran. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And we will bring you on يوم القيامة blind, as Allah says. And then he will say, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Why did you bring me and I'm blind? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. And I was able to see. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Our verses came to you. You, O Muhammad, and you, O Abu Bakr, Uthman, Sultan, Zainab, Khadija, you knew what was right and what was wrong. Our verses came to you. The proofs and the evidences were manifest. However, you decided to choose another path. You left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on standby. Allah Azza wa Jal was saying to you, oh you who believe, and we should take that personally when we find these verses. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, when you find, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, fa'ar'iha sam'ak, make sure you lend your ear. We take that personally, why? Because we are people of faith, right? Aren't we people of faith, brothers and sisters? All of these verses came to you, you decided to what? Turn away. The other explanation that the ulama they give when it comes to this ma'isha al-dank, and this is what you hear a lot, إِنَّ قَوْمًا ضُلَّالًا أَعْرَضُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. There were people who went astray, misguided. أَعْرَضُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. They turned away from the truth when it was brought to them. وَكَانُوا فِي سِعَةٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مُتَكَبِّرِينَ. They were blessed with the dunya. They had it nice. However, they were arrogant. فَكَانَتْ مَعِيشَتُهُمْ ضَنْكًا. They were given a depressed life. ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ مُخْلِفًا لَهُمْ مَعَايِشَهُمْ. And that is because they thought that nothing will follow after this life. مِنْ سُوءِ ظَنِّهِمْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And that is because of their bad thoughts of Allah Azza wa Jal. What was their reward? What were the consequences of that? They were given a depressed life. I'm sure most of you guys have heard of these very famous YouTubers, right? I've been using them as examples. You guys heard of Logan Paul? Huh? Logan Paul. You heard of him, right? KSI? Yep. Justin Bieber? The Beatles, yeah. I think some of the oldest, I don't think you've ever, you don't know it. Stop talking nonsense. Huh? Okay, who are the Beatles? Who are the Beatles? For those who are old, they know this very well known male music band, right? Took a guess. يَتَّبِعُونِ إِلَى الظَّنُ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. على كل حال, على كل حال, على كل حال. And I remember I sent this video to my little brother sitting in the corner. I sent him this video because there was this YouTuber who compiled these small little clips of all of them saying that which is what? Almost identical to one another. What was it? We're depressed. Feel sad. Some of them are antidepressants. Also, Fusi tube, right? Across the board, brothers, many of these personalities, whether they're singers, musicians, stars, huh? They have a face in front of the camera, but then they cry themselves to sleep. Ma'ishatan dunkan, they live a life of depression. This is the reality, brothers and sisters. You may think to yourself, I want to be like that guy because he has X, Y, and Z. They have all the money, all the fame you can think of. Even he's probably now become bored of collecting money because of how much he has. But then what? What was his ma'al? The man's depressed. He's sad. He's not at ease. مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Also, when you think about this, right? I'll quickly mention this. Have you guys ever thought about why the sports industry is a $1 billion industry? Did anyone ever think of it? Or think about it? Sports industry is a $1 billion industry, right? Hey, what about the music industry? The entertainment industry, right? They are all $1 billion industries. The drug industry, $1 billion industry. Did you know that they call cocaine Britain's open secret? تعرفون هذا؟ Even adult content is what? A $1 billion industry. The games industry. $1 billion industry. When you look at alcohol, it's a $1 billion industry. Why is that, brothers and sisters? They drink to forget, we do dhikr to remember. All of these industries, right? They are there to distract your mind and they feed off the sadness of the people. They feed off the sadness of the people. If you take all of these things out of the equation, how do you think they're going to feel, brothers and sisters? Look how depressed some of them felt when England was losing in the Euros. They say domestic violence went up. They're agitated throughout the week. They're waiting for the Champions League game. That's why when you think about it now, throughout the whole week, they're trying to fill every single day with a football game. Agreed? And then some of these footballers are coming out saying, we're being what? Violated. They're there trying to make money out of you. It's for entertainment purposes. Who do you think, by the way, brothers and sisters, is consuming these drugs? You think it's the local junkie that you see rolling around at the bus stop at Fajr time? Only? Politicians, professionals, people with a lot of money. They need to distract their mind, they need to relieve themselves. Even though they have all of that money, they, my brothers and my sisters, they are not at ease. But then you find a scholar, right? Or someone with knowledge who has had so much what? Ease. Why? The man's at peace. Today, brothers and sisters, how long do we have? Nine. I think you guys will get tired. How long do we have? Yeah, but the attention span today's day and age is what? 15 minutes. And we can't go on for too long. Khalas, afshir. If we get time, inshallah ta'ala, I want to cover 6 causes of punishment in the grave. 6 causes. The first one is عدم التنزه من البول والصلاة بغير طهور أو طهارة. The first one, my brothers and my sisters, is not cleaning yourself properly after you relieve yourself. And the second is النميمة. And both of them are mentioned in the same hadith. What is النميمة? To carry tales. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in a hadith. After walking past 2 graves, Abdullah ibn Abbas is narrating it. He said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. They are being tortured in the grave, brothers and sisters. And that which they are being tortured for could have easily been avoided. And this is something very major in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is why not cleaning yourself properly after relieving yourself is counted from amongst the major sins by authors who have compiled Al-Kabair. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَتُرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ يَمْشِ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. As for the first of them, never used to what? Clean himself properly. And as for the other, he used to carry tales. When we talk about not cleaning yourself properly, my brothers and my sisters, right? And excuse me for mentioning this, right? But it's a reality we have to speak about. What's now happened is, because of what we have seen the kuffar doing, we've adopted and embraced some of their ways. Do you guys agree with that? Whenever I teach Bulugh al-Maram, the chapter of istinja and istijmar, cleaning yourself with water and cleaning yourself with stones, there are chapters. One of the things that I tend to emphasize on is how the religion of Islam is a hygienic religion. Do you guys agree with that? Even when the COVID happened, I remember memes were going around, sah? Of non-Muslims venerating and glorifying a toilet paper. I remember, subhanAllah, someone sent me someone recording a safe. You guys know what a safe is? You normally what? Put your jewelry, right? And your money in there. So it records, you think, you know, some money is going to pop out of this place. And then what do you see? A toilet roll. Only now you guys started using a toilet roll. And they began to say how Islam is a hygienic religion, and because you make wudu 5 times a day, you're less likely to be affected by the corona. Don't know whether the doctor said that or some random guy who has absolutely no knowledge of the situation. But the point of the matter is, right, it's a hygienic religion. The way you clean yourself, right? A Jew one time tried to mock the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Try to say, right? You've been taught everything, right? قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. Indeed, your prophet, O Salman al-Farisi, has taught you everything. Right? Even that which relates to feces. Salman al-Farisi, instead of getting angry, what did he say? أجل, yes. لقد نهانا أن نستقبل القبلة بغاية أو بول أو نستنجي باليمين أو نستنجي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار. We were told not to defecate while facing the Qibla, the Kaaba and Quds, right? And to use our left hand and not to use the right and not to use anything less than 3 stones. Taught him. It's one of those hadith that we take honor out of. Why? Because our religion is complete. Right? You walk into the lavatories at work, what do you normally find, brothers and sisters? Urinating while standing up, right? Look how filthy that is. The man doesn't clean himself. And then walks home. And then with his family and whatever have you. Is that clear, my brothers and my sisters? Right? I don't know why we're sometimes in a rush after relieving ourselves. Take it easy. Clean yourself properly. Right? And then walk out. So that's the first one. We are also told in another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أُمِرَ بِعَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُضْرَبَ فِي قَبْرِهِ 100 جلدة فلم يزل يسأل ويدعو حتى صارت جلدة واحدة فجلد جلدة واحدة فامتلأ قبره عليه نارا فلما ارتفع عنه أفاق قال على ما جلدتموني. We are told that it was instructed that a servant from the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be lashed 100 times in the grave. And he kept on asking and asking, why am I being punished in this way? All the way up until it became what? One lash. And this one lash would cause his grave to be filled with fire. And then now when he gained consciousness again, he asked, why was I whipped? Why was I lashed? قالوا إنك صليت صلاة واحدة بغير طهور ومررت على مظلوم فلم تنصره. You prayed one prayer without the correct purification. It could be that he wasn't aslan even cleaning himself properly. Purposefully he was doing that. Or it could be someone who's not what? Cleaning himself properly. Right? Or one who decided not to make wudu. All of these different scenarios would fall under that. This is why I normally tell the sisters, because I hold courses from time to time on the fiqh of menstruation. It's important that you learn. I remember at the end of the course, this is after 400 people joined, right? Even I was shocked at how many people joined in such a short space of time. And yes, 100 of them were men. Because they have wives and daughters. And they need to learn as well about these very, very important issues. Right? So many sisters messaging saying, for how many years have I been praying, not knowing that I shouldn't? And at times I would think that I'd done the purification properly, but I realized I wasn't. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all understanding in the religion. The next one, my beloved brothers and sisters, is al-namima. Carrying tales. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, لا يدخل الجنة قتات. A qattat does not enter into al-jannah. So you have a namam.
Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Which comes from the word namima, which I'm sure many of us are acquainted with. Which means the carry tales, right? And then you also have qattat. Here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the qattat does not enter into al-jannah. And we've already taken the hadith of the namima. What is the difference? They both sound similar to one another. Does anybody know? لا يدخل الجنة قتاد. A قتاد does not enter into the religion. Didn't intentionally make takfir of him, but لا يدخل الجنة. He's still a Muslim. لا يدخل الجنة قتاد. A قتاد does not enter into الجنة. What's the قتاد? The difference between the نمام and also the قتاد, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the قتاد, he hears a conversation taking place, even though he's not from amongst them. He's eavesdropping. You guys know what that means? Eavesdropping. It may well be that he's cleaning the masjid and there are people sitting in the corner. They don't want to be sharing their conversation with him. So what happens? He eavesdrops. Oh, they're speaking about so and so. Of course, yes, they shouldn't be speaking about anybody in a negative light. What does he do? He takes this information and goes to the person they're speaking about and says, guess what? As I was hoovering the masjid, right? I overheard them saying X, Y, and Z about you. As for the namam, the one who carries tales, namima, it may well be that we are all sitting together, we are having a conversation, and then someone's mentioned that we shouldn't be speaking about. What do I do? Yeah. Take the information and you go to the person who's being spoken about and you tell him, look, I'm informing you. An-namam is of that kind. Al-qattat is that which we mentioned. Ibn Abd al-Barr, he mentions that Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, يُفْسِدُ النَّمَّامُ وَالْكَذَّابُ فِي سَاعَةٍ مَا لَا يُفْسِدُ السَّاحِرُ فِي سَنَةٍ. What is one of the jobs of a sahir? What did Allah Azza wa Jal tell us in the Quran that the sahir, that the magician does? When the two angels Harut and Marut came to the people of Babylon as a trial, right? They came to teach them magic. However, they would come with a what? A huge disclaimer. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. We are a trial to you guys. Don't commit kufr. What would they teach them? Does anybody know? فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. They would teach them how to separate between husband and wife. So what does the sahir do? It separates between people. What is Yahya ibn Abi Kathir saying here? The namam, The guy who carries tales, right? And the kadhab, the compulsive liar. They corrupt and destroy in 1 hour that which maybe the sahir needs to carry out in a whole year. A whole year he's trying to separate me between husband and wife, and he's trying to separate between father and son, mother and daughter. But then imam, 1 hour. That's maybe even an understatement in today's day and age. How long do you think an imam needs with the era of social media to cause corruption? Not just between two people, right? But actually between two nations. A war can take place because of what? A tweet. Would you guys agree with that? How many times is Donald Trump about to start a war with? What's the guy's name? Hong Kong? Huh? North Korea? What was his name? King, that was close. Right? How many times a war nearly took place? Relations are cut because of a tweet. I remember there was a time Saudi Arabia cut ties with Canada because of what one of them said on Twitter. Isn't that so? With the era of social media, WhatsApp, you send one message, wallahi, brothers and sisters, it could destroy the relationship between what? Families in a heartbeat, so quickly. We're not living in an era of having husnul dhan, giving people the benefit of the doubt. We're living in a time and era of canceling people. You cancelunak. Huh? Straight away. Very unforgiving we have become, especially on social media. Or verify the information. Double check it, la. Straight away. A very powerful statement of Imam As-San'ani rahmatullahi alayhi says, انظر في حكمة الله. Look at the wisdom of Allah. ومحبته لاجتماع القلوب. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for the hearts to come together. كيف حرم النميمة. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made النميمة حرام. Even though it is صدق. Even though it's the truth. When that person left that gathering and went to the one who was being spoken about or being backbitten, was he telling the truth or was he lying? He was telling the truth. And even then it's been made haram. لِمَا فِيهَا مِنْ إِفْسَادِ الْقُلُوبِ. Because it causes the hearts to have animosity towards one another. وَتَوْلِيدِ الْعَدَاوَةِ وَالْوُحْشَةِ وَأَبَاحَ الْكَذِبِ. And also what? It causes this harmony amongst the people. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed one to lie. وَأَبَاحَ الْكَذِبِ. But in which scenario? Huh, brothers and sisters? لِإِصْلَاح ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. Why? Right? When you want to solve the problems between two individuals who may have fallen out with one another. It's one of the three scenarios where lying is allowed. Why? In order to bring the hearts close. When it was that which is going to separate between the hearts and cause animosity, it was made haram. But something that is haram, like kadhib, was made what? Allowed. Ijtima' al-qulub, in order to bring the hearts close. وَإِذْهَابِ الْعَدَاوَةِ. The principle that I have, my beloved brothers and sisters, principle in life. The one who brings you tales about others, it's only a matter of time that he spreads tales about you. Do you guys agree with that? مَنْ نَمَّ إِلَيْكَ نَمَّ عَلَيْكَ. As Hassan al-Basri mentioned. Today he's saying, so-and-so said X, Y, and Z, and whatever have you, and he's saying this and he's saying that. It's only a matter of time before he stabs in the back. So how do we deal with this kind of individual? You may want to take out your pens and your papers. Wallah, I believe if this was applied, there would be so much good in society. And it would prevent so many problems, so many situations where people fall out with one another. Ibn Qudamah rahmatullahi alayhi, and his mukhtasar of Minhaj al-Qasidin, he says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ نَقَلَ إِلَيْكَ النَّمِيمَةِ. every individual who brings you tales about others, right? He says so-and-so done that, and so-and-so done this, right? So-and-so said this about you, right? Upon you is to do six things. Upon you is to do six things. Number one, أن لا يصدق الناقلة لأن النمام فاسق مردود الشهادة. That you don't believe what this individual is saying. Straight away. Why? Because this person who's carrying tales is a fasiq. He's a transgressor. He is partaking in some of the, or should I say, one of the most major sins possible because of the corruption that it causes. There are some major sins that is what? Limited to maybe just yourself or two people. This is now what? Causing problems and corruption amongst many. Shouldn't believe him because he's a fasiq. Mardudu shahada. This person's testimony in court will be rejected. And in Islamic court, they won't believe him or they won't accept anything that he says because of him committing fisq. Thani, number two. أن ينهاه عن ذلك وينصحه. You should forbid him from doing this and you should advise him. Number three. أن يبغضه في الله. You should hate him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. فإنه بغيض عند الله. And because he is despised by Allah Azza wa Jal due to him partaking in this filthy evil sin. Number four. أن لا يظن بأخيه الغائب السوء. That he shouldn't think bad of his brother. This person now that he's talking to you about, you shouldn't start having bad assumptions of him. And that is because what? Can't accept what this individual says. Even though it will burn, right? It will make you feel at, or should I say, unease. It will cause you discomfort. You'll be thinking about it all night. How can that individual say X, Y, and Z? Number five, أن لا يحمله ما حكي له على التجسس والبحث. This should not cause you now to start spying. This should not lead you now to start spying on that individual. Now that this has been said, you send people, oh, go and double check. Does he really say that? Go and ask him. Try to act like you're on his side and that you're his friend. See whether he says that. And that is because Allah said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on one another. And number six, أَنْ لَا يَرْضَى لِنَفْسِهِ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ النَّمَّامَ فَلَا يَحْكِي نَمِيمَتَهُ. You should not fall into that which you advise this tale teller of. You may say to him now, أخي, listen, what you've done is wrong, you shouldn't do this. But then, you go to your wife or you go to your brothers and sisters and you start saying, oh, I can't believe what that guy said about me. He just prohibited that individual from not doing this. And you shouldn't be believing him. You should not relate that which is being said. May Allah give us a tawfiq to act upon that. It's not easy. Right? These 6 points are really what? Pushing buttons. It's really putting us to the test. And on the ropes, if you want to call it. Number three, and we may have to conclude with this. It was reported by Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi and also at Tabrani on the authority of Ya'la ibn Shababa radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time walked past the grave يُعَذَّبُ صَاحِبُ and the one in the grave was being punished. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ يَأْكُلُ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ ثُمَّ دَعَى بِجَرِيدَةٍ رَطْبَةٍ. This individual, he used to eat the flesh of the people. And because of that, he's now being punished in the grave. The third point, my brothers and my sisters, that which we are covering is backbiting. For those who don't know what backbiting means, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said one time to his companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةِ. Do you know what ghiba is? They said, Allah wa Rasuluhu knows best. قال ذكرك أخاك بما يكرهه. To say about your brother that which he dislikes. So the companions, they said, أفرأيت إن كان في أخي ما أقول. What if that which I'm saying about him is actually the truth? Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن كان في ما تقول فقد اغتبته. If that which you are saying about him is the truth, then you've backbited him. If it's not the truth, فقد بهته. You've slandered him. النووي رحمة الله عليه said, كل ما أفهمت به غيرك نقصان مسلم فهي غيبة أو فهو غيبة. Whenever you express your brother in a negative light to another individual, this is a غيبة. Sometimes you take sly shots, right? At a Muslim, صح؟ I'm speaking about a kafir. I'm speaking about a Muslim. This is why he said, كل ما أفهمت به غيرك نقصان مسلم فقد اختبت. Expressing negativity about a Muslim brother. Sometimes it may be with a wink. With expression, even straightway the person who's sitting in front of you takes away from that what? That he's like X, Y, and Z. To portray them in a negative light. Right. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمَّا عُرِجَ بِي مَرَرْتُ بِقَوْمٍ لَهُمْ أَظْفَارٌ مِّن نُحَاسِ. When I was taken on the night journey, I went past a group of people who had nails made out of metal. يَخْمِشُونَ مُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ. What were they doing? They were scratching their faces with these metal nails and their chests as well. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَىٰ يَا جِبْرِيلِ. I asked, who are they, O Jibreel? قال هؤلاء الذين يأكلون لحوم الناس ويقعون في أعراضهم. They are the ones who eat the flesh of people. And they rip the honor of the people into shreds. And again, when somebody comes and backbites you, when someone comes to you and says that so and so is backbiting you, how should you respond? Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, مرحبا بحسنة لم أفعلها ولم أتعب فيها ولم يدخل فيها عجب ولا رياء. Welcome to this good deed that I didn't do, and I didn't strive and get tired in carrying it out. And also this good deed that inshallah ta'ala that I will now receive on the day of resurrection hasn't been affected with self-amazement and showing off. A battle that every single one of us has when we do acts of worship, especially in public. Am I doing it for the sake of Allah? Am I not? However, you're going to be getting that good deed, right? You didn't have to strive for it. You didn't have to show off. It just came to you like that. Hassan al-Basri would say, Marhaban, welcome. Shaykh al-Islam Taymi rahmatullahi alayhi was asked about a woman who prays at night and fasts in the day. And she also would what? Complete the Quran all the time. وَتَخْتِمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَدَ أَحَدًا مِنْ غِيبَةٍ. There's not a person except that she would speak about and backbite. وَقَدْ نُصِحَتْ بِلَا فَائِدَةٍ. And she's been advised. She's not receptive to it. She doesn't change. He said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَهَا لِتَعْمَلَ لِغَيْرِهَا. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her to do all of these good deeds so she can work for others. What a response. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَهَا لِتَعْمَلَ لِغَيْرِهَا. She's doing all of these good deeds, which many people struggle. Let's be honest here. Is it easy to stand up in the night? Is it easy to fast in the day, on a hot summer's day, brothers and sisters? It's not. And to complete the Quran and then to complete it again and again, it's not. All of these good deeds that we do, it could be that, it's going to be on someone else's scale of good deeds. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he called this aswa'u anwa'il karam. The worst type of generosity. The worst type of generosity. أسوأ أنواع الكرم. هو كرمك في إهداء حسناتك للآخرين. It is you gifting your good deeds to others. It's the worst type of what? Generosity. And it's even worse, when you backbite a righteous person. The more righteous that individual is, the worse that sin becomes. The worse that sin becomes. ولذلك تغلطت الغيبة بحسب حال المؤمن فكل ما كان أعظم إيمانا كان اغتيابه أشد. Depending on how righteous he is, the more righteous, the more worse. And this is why it shocks me at times how some have taken this as a religion to speak about scholars, right? Just because he doesn't agree with your sheikh. They rip into him. Or a person who has never gone out to study. He's sitting in a cafe making takfir of this guy, making tabdi' of that guy. He calls him an innovator. This guy's a kafir. He's never ever studied his religion. Takes all of them and just what? The scholars of today, they're all sellouts. Look at this mass accusation. It's mass accusation. That's a very big statement. The scholars of today, they're sellouts. Or the scholars of today, they're all harsh, rough and tough. Not only are you saying bad stuff about them behind their back, but you're also generalizing, making these sweeping statements. I've been told to stop at 11. I'll mention this as the last one, inshallah ta'ala. And I think it's very, very convenient. الكذبة التي تبلغ الأفاق. Number five, brothers and sisters, is... Are we on number five? Four. طيب. الكذبة التي تبلغ الأفاق. The lie that reaches the other side of the world. Or should I say, the four corners of the world. There is a very famous hadith. It is the hadith of Samurata ibn Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on an experience where he saw so many people being punished, and this was the punishment of the grave. As the scholars mentioned when commenting on this hadith, one of those that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across was الرجل الذي يشرشر شدقه إلى قفاه ومنخره إلى قفاه وعينه إلى قفاه فإنه الرجل يغدو من بيته فيكذب الكذبة تبلغ الأفاق. There was a man, my brothers and my sisters, who had a hook stuck in his mouth and he would be ripped all the way to the back of his head. Right? And it would also be inserted in his eyes and the same would happen. And likewise on his neck, same would happen. And when this now, or should I say, the next thing that will happen after that is the other side of the face. And by that time, this one has already healed and gone back to normal. And this will go on and on, go on and on. So the Messenger of Allah asked, who is he? He's the one who walks out of his house. He spreads a lie that reaches the other side of the world. Sometimes I look at this hadith and I think, when the Sahaba heard it, what went through their mind? Right? They're in the middle of the Arabian desert and they're being told this. That one lie now reaches the other side of the world. But when we look at today's day and age, what do you think, brothers and sisters? Slander, lies, all sorts, you name it, right? Those, what do they call them? Twitter warriors, who are trigger happy, with the Twitter fingers. They'll never ever come out in real life speak like that. But behind the keyboard, he's a warrior. Spreads this lie, says this about that, and he reaches the other side of the world in a heartbeat. People believe it. Like I mentioned earlier, there isn't something called what husnul dhan in today's day and age. It has diminished. Having good thoughts of the people and double checking, giving the people the benefit of the doubt. That's a whole topic in within itself. One time I gave a whole lecture on what? Just husnul dhan. Having good thoughts of the people. And how this what allows you to be at peace at night when you go to sleep. And how this also what treats your heart. And the scholars, they mention, if the only benefit that we could take away from having good thoughts of the people is the fact that you're able to go to sleep at night with peace, then that would be enough. And then the only bad thing that we could say about having evil thoughts is the fact that you can't go to sleep at peace. And it would be enough to say that having bad thoughts is an evil trait. I think we'll have to stop there. The other one was a zina that I wanted to mention. Also, there was aklur riba, taking usury interest. And the other one was al-ghulul min al-ghanima, to take from the war booty, the spoils of war, right, before it has been distributed accordingly, right? And how this applies today, right, for those who collect money. And what Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu al-Ansari mentioned when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him to go and collect the zakawat, the charities, how scared he became. But I've gone well over the time. And I hope I haven't bored you all, tired you guys out. I remember a couple of years ago I was doing some research on the average times, the average attention span. It was 15 minutes at a time. And then it became 12. Allahu a'lam how many minutes it is today, especially with the millennials. We are living in the era of reels, right? The social media companies, they've realized that if you want to grab someone's attention, then grab it with 30 seconds. That's why you have the reels. That's maybe an hour's lecture, he won't pay attention. May Allah honor every single one of you guys for taking the time out to attend today's gathering. Barakallahu feekum, ahsan Allah ilaykum.
JazakAllahu khair, Ustad, for the beautiful reminder, mashallah. We'll now open up to questions, inshallah. First two or three questions, if we can take the first two or three related to the topic, either death, grave, or the day of judgment, and then after that we can open up to other questions, if Ustad doesn't mind, inshallah.
Yeah, that's in 2 minutes, yeah? By the way, brothers, I'm not a mufti, yeah? If I don't know the answer, I'll say Allahu A'lam. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, كان يعلم شيء فليقول به ومن كان لا يعلم شيء فليقول الله أعلم. If you know something, then answer it. You don't say Allahu A'lam. And that's half the knowledge. تفضل. I'll take you after. And then you. You don't get to answer, ask a question. I'm just joking with you. That's for that. Sorry?
You're confusing me.
Huh? No, that's for that.
Okay, so you're saying something about, I think, the backbiting or being slander of some of scholars or somebody that's more pious. It made me reflect sometimes with some discussions between brothers, because I didn't know this, but subhanAllah, I feel you've confirmed it. Because I've always heard stories about those who are pleasing to Allah, more pleasing to Allah. So is it fair to say that those who are more pleasing in the sight of Allah, if they're insulted, then is what makes that would be what makes that worse by them doing so?
So the brother is asking, I think everybody heard the question, yeah? I hope the mic caught it, right? About when somebody's more closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, right, insulting him or saying bad things about him or backbiting him. Sahih? What we have been instructed with is to judge to that which is apparent. That's the only thing that we can judge. So if it's apparent that an individual, a righteous person, comes to the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see that the righteousness is pretty apparent on him. You harming him As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith al-Qudsi, "Man 'ada li waliyyan faqad adantuhu bil harb." Whoever shows enmity to my wali, to my close servant, and a wali can also be translated as a saint. There are people who are walking on the face of this earth that are the close beloved servants of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start a war with these individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start a war with these individuals. Right? So we judge from that which is apparent. And based off of that, right, we are extra careful. And the reason why I say extra careful is because we shouldn't be doing that to anyone anyway, from the Muslims. Whether he may appear that he's righteous or not. Answer your question? Yeah? Or did I miss something out? I feel like I may have missed something out from your question.
Basically, I try to warn someone that spoke about somebody because they are, I'm not going to say who they are, I know that they are doing a lot for Allah, basically.
Hmm.
And I said to him, surely someone that's more righteous than the sight of Allah, you incur more wrath.
So
being here today, subhanAllah, I feel that that has confirmed something that I didn't know but felt, subhanAllah.
Yeah, this is what you just mentioned. The more an individual is righteous or higher in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Backbiting him, slandering him is far worse. And this is what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. The quote, and I don't know if I mentioned his name, maybe I may have forgotten, when he said, وَلِذَٰلِكَ تَغَلَّطَتِ الْغِيبَةُ بِحَسَبِ حَالِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Right? The ghiba is worse depending on the situation of that believer. وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ أَشَدْ اسْتِقَامَةً كَانَ اغْتِيَابُ أَشَدْ. The more steadfast he is, the more worse the ghiba is. Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that in his explanation of Sahih Muslim. The brother, yeah.
Just a quick question. Will you be able to finish your points later on downstairs?
I have to give another lecture? Wallahi la bas, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay. Yeah. May Allah honor you. Jazakallah khair. Tafadhal.
Assalamu alaykum.
Alaykum.
So, you know, you mentioned...
Are you hafidun li kitabillah?
Yeah.
How much of the Quran do you know?
Not much.
May Allah bless you. Yeah, tafadhal. Next time I see you, you have to memorize half of the Quran. Right? So if they invite me over next week, you have to have it. Inshallah.
So you did mention the a few reasons why people would be punished in the grave. But what happens if somebody, because there are things that grant you protection of the punishment of the grave, for example, the dua after the adhan or the nafil prayer or the song. So if you do these things, but for example, you did backbite someone or you did do something that would grant you the punishment, what would happen then?
Very good question. So the brother is asking, you may do certain things that protect you from the punishment of the grave. And at the same time, you may do the things that, like the things that we mentioned today, which brings about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that whatever sin you commit, as long as it doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam, right? Which sin takes you out of the fold of Islam? Shirk and kufr, right? Disbelief and also shirk. If an individual had a tawheed, right? He testified that no one had the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah. And he lived by that, not just somebody who claims it with his tongue and then goes to the graves and invokes the righteous. There are righteous people who are buried. Having said that, that doesn't give you a right to invoke them. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself taught us, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Go directly to Allah Azza wa Jal. Otherwise, there's no difference between us and a group who may attribute themselves to Christianity. طيب. When you die and you have a tawheed, and some scholars also mention, and in fact many of them, that the bare minimum that keeps you in Islam is what? The salah. If you died upon that, even though you committed so many sins, and from amongst the sins that you committed were these, what is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in this scenario? If you die like that, what is the aqeedah? Huh? That you are under the? You are under the will of Allah. You are under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal may choose to punish you for that. And He may choose to forgive you. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who forgives. However, yeah, I think you're asking for that then. So in a nutshell, summarize, when an individual dies upon major sins, as long as he had his tawheed intact, right, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal may choose to punish him in the grave, and then he's also punished in the hereafter, but then eventually ends up coming out of the hellfire. Because someone with a tawheed, if Allah decides to punish him, sooner or later he will come out. Having said that, that doesn't mean we start taking it lightly, right? The fire of the hereafter, my beloved brothers and sisters, النَّارُ الَّتِي تُوْقِدُونَ جُزْءٌ مِّن سَبْعِينَ جُزْءٌ مِّن نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. It is 1/70th that we have in today's dunya. When you go into your kitchen and you touch the fire, it's 1/70th of the hereafter. So you don't want there to be even a possibility, a percentage, that you'll be touched with the fire, right? So you're under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? You may have the punishment likely in the grave. And then again, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have a light punishment. And that is because you came with all of these other good deeds. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
The hadith, you didn't translate the second part of it, the one about Lam Yansur al-Mazlum.
Naam. Jazakallah khair. Ahsan Allah ilayk. Completing the hadith of the one who is being lashed in the grave, right? You prayed a prayer without tahara. Also, what was mentioned in the hadith was مَمَرَرْتَ عَلَى مَظْلُومٍ فَلَمْ تَنْصُرْهُ. You saw somebody being oppressed and you did not rush to his aid. You did not defend his honor. Right? It takes guts, brothers and sisters. Someone's being backbiting in front of you, and he may be the one who's doing this filthy, evil act, someone who's close to you. For you to stand up for your Muslim brother and say, no, this is wrong. He's being oppressed, but you do something about it. And ذَبَّ عَنْ عِرْضِ أَخِيكَ أَنَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ يُعْتِخُ مِنَ النَّارِ. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whoever defends the honor of his brother in his absence, Allah will protect his face from the hereafter, from the fire. Today, in Hounslow, West London, the lecture was about your Prophet is being insulted and defending his honor and so on, and how an individual goes about defending his honor. I was thinking about, and this occurred in my mind, as I was walking into the masjid, should I just change the topic and just speak about what I spoke about there? And then, inshallah ta'ala, it should be up on my YouTube channel, hopefully within the next 48 hours. I put pressure on them for them to put this up. What are the practical steps that we need to take in order to defend the honor of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Right? And without a shadow of a doubt, it's you learning about his sunnah. Learning the deen of Allah Azza, so you're able to protect it accordingly. And Allah Azza will always what? Protect his religion. You guys heard of Lars Vilks? Lars Vilks, the Swedish cartoonist, who sketched the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a dog. Swedish cartoonist. From that point on, he had what? 24-hour security. And then subhanAllah, guess how he died? On an empty motorway, he just what? Slipped. And until this very day, they don't know how he died. And then the car exploded. They don't know until now how he died. Allah will deal with them. Just like also he dealt with Khusro, Kisra. Right? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him a letter. And the first thing that was mentioned on the letter was Min Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And he became furious, Kisra. Khusro the second, who was known as the king of kings in Iran and outside of Iran. He He got so angry. He goes, how can this servant of mine, he's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try mock him and ridicule him, right? How can he start with his name before mine? He took it, ripped it out. And then expelled the messenger, the noble companion. It was only a couple of days before his own son turned on him. He killed his own father. And then the son was killed. And then the one who killed him was killed as well. And then the whole kingdom was destroyed. This was after the Messenger made dua against him and said, "Mazzaqallahu mulka." Just as he cut up this paper, this letter, may Allah Azza wa Jal do that to his kingdom. And that's exactly what happened. Allah Azza wa Jal will preserve his Prophet's honor. Right? I think that's time, right?